We're so glad to be a part of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. If you don't know our greater part that we're a part of, just on the back, again, just above the debit machine is who we are. And it's a pamphlet that explains who we are, a great organization called, or family, I should say. It's not really an organization. It's a family called the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. And I am just so glad to be a part of it. I'm so glad to be a part of this church. And we've got exciting days ahead. And that Felix, Cecilia, why don't you come? Come and share with us. Again, what an honor and privilege to have you. And just got back from Mexico, so they say, mi casa es su casa. My house is your house, so have some fun.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good morning. It's an honor and a privilege to be here. And Felix is going to, I won't say he's going to run upstairs. He'll just slowly make his way up to the back there. So I'm Cecilia. Felix and Hannah, I'm sure you've seen her running around here. She's turned 4 in the spring. So we are PAOC Global Workers. We are currently ministering in South Africa. And we'll give you a little bit of an update of what's happening in South Africa, but maybe just to introduce ourselves to you a little bit more. We've both been involved in missions for over 12 years. We've lived in Zimbabwe, in Kenya, now in South Africa. I also lived in Zambia for about a year. And God is good. I never thought that I would be living in Africa for over 15 years of my life. I never thought I would marry an African. And God is good. He has his own plan. And, you know, it's not without challenges. But I wouldn't change a day of it for anything, because when you know that you are where God wants you to be, whether it's in South Africa, whether it's in Owen Sound, whether it's in Sioux Lookout, that's the best place to be. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it means God is there, he's in the middle, and he's doing something. And so we are honored to be here today to just share with you what God is doing in South Africa, but also what you are part of. As Pastor has already said, you are part of what is happening in South Africa. And so we thank you so much for that, for allowing God to bring us together. And so we work in a number of different communities. Each community looks different. Some communities have tin shacks, no running water. Some communities look a little bit more stable with proper buildings. Some communities have a lot of child-headed households, so parents have passed away. You've got 12, 14-year-olds raising their younger siblings. We have a lot of grannies raising 5, 8, 10 grandkids because the parents are not around. So each community looks different. We work with the pastors and leaders in each community to just come alongside them, to talk with them, to engage with them about what's happening in their community and in their church, and to encourage them. And I think sometimes we downplay encouraging because you can't see it. You can't see that you've made somebody smile, so you think it's not important, but it's very important. And sometimes that is how God touches a heart, is through a smile, through an encouraging, hey, how you're doing, through somebody buying a coffee for them at Tim Hortons one day this week. You don't know how God is working in that person. And so for us, we take that part very seriously, that encouraging part, because we've seen great things come out of just of that, of talking, of being friends, of letting God work through those relationships. And so as we talk with pastors and leaders, we talk about what's happening. What are the problems? What have they tried in the past? What their dreams are for their own church and their own community? How they can reach out into the places around them. So we don't necessarily come in and say, hey, we have this program that's just for you. Hop on board, let's go. We'll build a well, we'll build a building, we'll do this, we'll do that. Because we don't know the communities. We get to know them over time, but we don't live in them. And we can know the people, but we don't really know the people because we don't live there. And so the pastors obviously have an idea of what's going on in their community. So we walk alongside. We say, hey, let's do this together. Because if we come in and say, this is for you, we're pulling them behind us. And then it's not theirs. It's not their project. It's not their initiative. It's not their responsibility. And so we come alongside and say, how can we help you do what God has called you to do? It may look different in each community. In fact, it looks different in every community. But when you see people taking ownership when they're not used to taking ownership, when you see that light go off in their eyes that says, hey, I can do this. God has a plan for me. It's very encouraging, and we're just thankful that God has chosen us to be part of that. And so some of the ways we do this is through CCP Child Care Plus. So that's the PAOC's and ERDO sponsorship program, where people in Canada sponsor a child every month, and then that money goes towards either paying school fees or school uniforms, could be groceries, it could be medical care. And so this is a tool that the church uses to reach into the community. Some of the kids who are sponsored through this program are from the church family. Some of them are just from the community. The ones from the community may never have set foot in a church before, but because of this program, they're able to be involved. They're able to know that somebody loves them. And some of them, their families, whoever is at home, may start coming to church. They may not, but they still know that God loves them and they hear about his love. And so that is something that the pastors and their teams really appreciate, is that they're able to now tangibly do something that they weren't able to do before. And we have moms who have stepped up and said, I want to teach the kids how to do beading. Sounds like a small little thing. For us, we may even think it's arts and crafts. But for them, it's a life skill that they can use, possibly in the future, to make an income for themselves. We have some caregivers who are just part of a weekly Bible study. May not be something that they've ever done before. And so it's a way to again, share God's love. And so another initiative that we have, so that's one tool that we use. Another initiative, and maybe I'll just say, is we do have information on the back if you're interested in sponsoring a child. And I know the church has just taken on recently a child in South Africa, so thank you so much for that. And, you know, it's maybe I'll just tell you this little story. So whenever there's a new child, every month we call or we text the team leader in that area and say, you know, your funds will be coming such and such a time, but just so you know, this child is sponsored. And there are times when you can hear the dancing and the singing. They call it Felix is going to have ululating. I can't say it. Ululating, which is when they jump and cheer, and I won't give you an example of it, but they're just so excited when these kids get sponsors. It's because it makes such a difference in their lives. So thank you so much for being part of that. Another way that we are involved in the community is through the Garden Initiative. So this is something that the community said is a need, is that there's not big availability of fresh vegetables. And if they are, these kids and their families aren't necessarily able to afford them. It might just be spinach once or twice a week, but they can't get that. And of course, we all know that's important for their health and for their growth. And so they are now working together, community and church leaders or church members together, to work in this garden. It's had some issues, but they've come along and they've solved it on their own. At the beginning, it was a little bit tricky. So if something, you know, maybe a rake broke, they'd call us up and say, you know, the rake is broken. We'd say, okay. So how can we fix this situation? Instead of us just running in and saying, here's the money for a rake or whatever it is, how can we together make it work? And so now we just hear, oh, this and this happened. So we got somebody in the community, they just fixed it up for us, and now we're continuing on with what we need to do in the garden. And so it's just neat to see them taking that ownership and the initiative to be able to take care of that which has been given to them. And so it's not without issues as they've learned how to work together as a group and as a team, but they now feel empowered that they can do it on their own. They have that belief in themselves that, hey, we can do this. It's not somebody else coming in to do it. It's us doing it. And sewing was another need that they identified. So in one of the areas, again, a need is school uniforms. So because they're about an hour and a half outside of Pretoria, which is one of the major cities, it's difficult for them to get school uniforms. In South Africa, every child needs a school uniform, and every single school in the country has a different uniform. And so it's not like you can borrow from your neighbor, you know, when theirs is too small, because if they go to a different school, it's not going to work. And so buying them in Pretoria was expensive because you had to travel there. Buying them where they lived, if they were available, was expensive just because it's that far out of the city. And so they said, if we know how to sew, we can make them ourselves and sell them, not just for our own kids, but for the community and provide that service. And so after much discussion, and so it took us almost 2 years to walk through this process with them, and we thank God for that, because if we had just kind of rushed in and said, yes, that's an awesome idea, let's just go, we see how we would have fallen right away. We wanted to ensure that all of us were on the same page. We wanted to ensure that the right people were involved, because sometimes, you know, when something's happening, everyone gets really excited. They want to be involved. But then when people think, there's actually work involved, I have to do something, they're not so committed as they were the first day that they heard about the project. And so we wanted to make sure there was the right people involved and that God was going before and opening doors. And so God opened doors for them to attend a sewing school. So there's four CCP caregivers who were chosen out of a big group to attend this sewing training. So they started in January. They'll graduate beginning of November. So when we go back in about a month, we'll be attending this graduation ceremony. And they are thrilled. I mean, thrilled doesn't even explain it. I cannot actually say how excited they are. So how it worked was, there was a big group of people, of ladies, who had said, yes, I'm interested in attending this class. So everyone went through an interview after they were screened by the pastor and a team in the church. And then after that, there was four ladies who were chosen. And so we thought, okay, the other ones who weren't chosen, they'll just kind of fade into the background and go on with life. Well, what has happened is that these four ladies are going, but their aim and their goal from the beginning is to teach the ones who didn't get chosen. And so those ladies who were not chosen, they all meet every week for Bible study. And these are mostly ladies who don't come to church. They meet for Bible study, for discipleship classes. They've come together as a group of friends, not just random people in the community. They understand that God has a plan for them. They understand that they actually themselves can make a difference where they live. They don't have to go somewhere else. They don't have to wait for somebody to come and do it for them. That God has put them there for a reason. Whether they have 2 cents, whether they have $20, it doesn't matter, that God has put them there for a reason. And so it's just been so exciting for us to see this happening. We didn't plan it, and probably if we planned it, it would not have happened that way. But God has brought them together, and just about a month or so ago, we actually had a graduation of 24 people from the first level of the discipleship class. And so we're just thankful to God for that and for bringing them all together. And then so on top of this, some of the ladies said, it's winter. And it's Africa. You might think, hey, it's Africa. How cold can it really get in wintertime? But I'll tell you, it's cold. We don't have snow where we stay, but there is snow in South Africa. But because we don't have insulation in the buildings, when it goes down to single digits, close to zero, it gets really bone-chilling cold. And some of them live in tin shacks. Some of them, you know, don't have access to a heater that they can plug in for a little bit. So the lady said, we need to buy, as part of uniforms, sweaters for the kids for winter time. And there was a lady who had a couple of old knitting machines that we had helped her service. And she said, I'm going to do it. She didn't give us a call and explain her plan. She just, actually, I don't know, she called or sent a text or sent some pictures and said, this is what we're doing. We've got two, is this the lady and another one of the CCP caregivers, and they've employed two other people in the community to knit these sweaters for the kids. They did it on their own. They're making money. They're providing a service for the our kids and in the future for the community. And they're just excited because, again, God is using them to touch lives, and that's a tangible way that they're able to do it on their own. Baking as well is another area where one of our, this is Adeline, she's a pastor's wife. She had a baking business before, and as we got to know them and came alongside her, we worked with her on maybe making a few extra things that might she might be able to sell, and we did a little bit of training with her in terms of you know, new recipes, that kind of thing. But she started just on her own. She just said, I need a way to kind of supplement my family's income. And from going from just herself doing it, she then started to employ one person, two people, three people, four people in the community that assist with her baking business. And her dream is to actually have a shop one day and to be able to supply a much bigger area that people can call and order things. And so this is a big thing in that area because it's a dream that she has. She's a woman. And in the area where she lives, women, I mean, they, raising kids is wonderful, it's beautiful, but they don't see that they have any purpose past that. And so to see somebody actually kind of standing up as a leader in that community, because she has her own business, gives her more of a voice in the community, gives her the maybe authority to say to them, you know what, God has a purpose for you. God has a plan for you. You too can use the skills he has given you to reach out to those around you. And so the way that God has brought that around is really encouraging. And so as we go through, we encourage them, we engage with them, we equip them with tools. So sometimes it's discipleship training. It's basic finance training, which doesn't sound like much, but in these areas, people are not used to keeping receipts. They're not used to, I mean, if they get, we use rand there, so 10 rand is about a dollar here. If they have 10 rand, yes, they kind of know they can't spend what they don't have. But to put it on a piece of paper, well, I have 10 rand, I can't spend 15 rand. So walking through them with that. So as they get the CCP funds every month, we do a monthly report. Sit down and say, okay, what did you spend? How did you spend it? Do you have all the receipts? And we've done this every month over and over for 2+ years. And every month, of course, you know, as people learn, there's things, challenges that come up. Maybe it's not done perfectly or something is missing. But these last months, I look at it, just tick, 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 perfect. There's no mistakes, there's receipts, there's, I mean, it's amazing, and I'm always smiling, and I say to Felix, it's perfect, there's nothing wrong with it. It's, and it seems like such a small thing, but it's a big thing because I know that it's something that they will need as they move into the next stage of what God has for them. If they have a sewing business, if they have a baking business, whatever it is they do, if they sell vegetables even, they need to know how to balance those books, as it were. And so it's a skill that they're learning and that they can teach others as well as they go. And so team building, HIV and AIDS training, children's ministry, youth ministry. So these are all things that are all related as we walk alongside with pastors and hear what it is that they need for their church, for the community. We just come alongside and help when and where we can. We want them to succeed. We want to originally and eventually our goal is to be able to step back from the community and say, hey, you are awesome. You've been empowered with the tools. You know, you're able to seek God. You're able to see where he's leading you. You're able to work together as a team. And so, you know, we'll step back. We can find a new community. We can start there. And also for them to go to the next community. They themselves can train others and take it to different communities. And so that's our ultimate goal and our vision and our passion. And it's a slow process, slower than, as I said, you know, just stepping in and saying, here's the project, let's do it, let's build this, let's do that. It's a slow process because we're working on people changing. And as we all know, and as, you know, was mentioned today, change is difficult. We don't want to change. We want to just go on step by step and do what we've always done, do it the same way we always have done it. And so even for us, it's been difficult because we're used to jumping in and helping. We want to jump in. We want to just, we see a need here, so we want to come here. And then we see a need here, we want to come here and help. So for us, it's been a challenge as well, is just getting used to the idea that, hey, we can't just run in and solve every problem. Because first of all, we can't solve every problem. But that's not what we're there to do. We're there to walk alongside. And so there are many frustrating days. Sometimes I'll sit down, I'll say to Felix, I don't know what to write. I don't know what to report because I can't really show what it is exactly we've been doing because it is relationship building, because it is talking to people, because it is just engaging with them and praying with them. You know, sometimes it's hard to say that. It's hard to express what God is doing because we don't have pictures of it. I mean, we have a face, but we don't have pictures of that growth that we're seeing. But God is moving, and you all are part of that, and Felix is just going to come and share a little bit more. Should I tell the story of Salalani, or do you want to do that? Okay, so very quickly before he comes. So one of our CCP children, his name is Lawrence, he is HIV positive, and so he's been sick for many years. And when we came about, 3 years ago, I don't actually think I said that, did I? We've been in South Africa for 3 years now, and we've just reapplied for our visas, but Felix may talk about that, I don't know. So Lawrence has been living many years with HIV. When we got there, he had a problem with his eyes. He actually had stopped going to school because he couldn't really see, so he couldn't study, he couldn't read books, so what was the point? He started getting medical care. His eyes are now, you wouldn't even know he's the same kid. He wouldn't smile before because he was not feeling well. He's always involved, and I always say to Felix, is that Lawrence? Because he's running and playing, and he's the first one who's volunteering for something. His eyes are not healed, but they're much, much better. He's feeling better. He's doing better at school. And he's being raised by his sister, his older sister. And she is somebody who we could never have. I mean, language is a bit of an issue, but she understood English to some degree, which we didn't really know because she never said anything. She may have said hi. She wouldn't look you in the face. She was just very down all the time. And so she started becoming more involved through CCP, through the programs we do, through the, you know, the caregivers coming together. And she was one of the ladies chosen for the sewing program. And she now is a totally different person. We saw her a couple months ago. And we're both looking at each other. We're saying, is that her? She was dressed, like even just her dress had changed. She was dressed nicely and neatly. Not that she was a dump before, but like you could just tell it was different. She was smiling. She was looking you in the face. She was having a full conversation with you. And that's just because she's been encouraged. She's feeling that God has a place for her. And she recently became a Christian. She accepted Jesus into her heart. And she's telling it to everyone, and she just feels different, she looks different, she acts different, and what a testimony that is to her family, to the even just the kids that she's raising, to those in the community, and even into those in the church who see that. You know, sometimes I think we shy away from having those, the people, I mean, you want to minister to those on the outside, but sometimes it's difficult to do that because They may be different from us. They may have different backgrounds from us. And so I think even within the church family, to see that someone's kind of come from the outside and she's actually taking a lead role in what's happening with the kids and the garden and the sewing. And so it's just, again, awesome to see how you are making a difference in South Africa, one person at a time. And so Felix will just come now. And
Thank you guys for inviting us to share with you today. And as Cecilia was saying, definitely we are making a difference together, because as Pastor always says, we are better together. And together, we are making a difference. So thank you for allowing us to come and to share with you what's happening in South Africa. There's so much happening, as she was sharing. There's so many stories to tell. So much. But all these projects, these initiatives, the sewing, the gardening, the baking, the bead working, all of these things, yes, they are nice. But the most important part is the people. So when we see the people, you know, it just opens our hearts, and we want to teach them about the Word of God. So hence, that's where we come with the discipleship courses, and we teach them. Because we believe that if they know Christ, if they have a relationship with Christ and their business is moving well, they move their business with integrity. And when they step out into the world, they are able to tell others of what God is doing in their lives and what God is doing in their businesses. And they become a beacon of hope in their own communities. And as they step out, like what you guys are doing, this is fantastic. It's like, I don't know how, when I was preparing this, it's like we were in sync. Everything that is happening in this church, the outreach, the community, what you are doing right now, don't take that for granted. Never. Because lives are being transformed, lives are being changed. It might not happen there and there, but something is happening. Something is happening. So when we combine the development and the evangelism, the discipleship, we know that we are going to get people who are free in Christ. We know that we're going to get people who are financially free. And when we have people like that, we are able to step out and make a huge difference for ourselves, for our families, for our communities, and for our country. So thank you so much for holding the hands of our South African brothers and sisters and walking alongside them and saying, hey, we can make it. We can do it. But I want to encourage us today that we can do it. We can make a difference. I know we're already making a difference. We can step it up again and we can make a huge difference in this community, the other communities, this country, and the whole world. So I remember when I was growing up, when I was younger, someone corrected me because I said when I was young, and the elderly guy came to me and he says, no, you say when you were younger, because you're still young. And I said, oh, thank you. So when I was younger, school was not one of the best for me. I liked art. I liked to draw. I liked to do, you know, very creative stuff. That's me. When you put me in those areas, I wake up. So at school, mathematics was worse. So I was like, no maths, no. Science, oh, goodness me. But so I thought, you know what, maybe this is the right time for me to start acting up. So I started acting up. And my mom and dad were like, okay, we have a challenge here. So here in Canada, I hope when a child is having some challenges, we find a professional. You know, we can try and sit down. You know, if it's not really working out, we find a professional to, you know, come and assist us with our challenges. So my mom and my dad said, you know what, we can't deal with this, so now we have to find someone who can deal with this. So in this country, we might call a psychologist or some other specialist. But my mom and dad, they went ahead and called, they call them the fetish priests or the witch doctors. So now I'm not going to scare you. But that's reality. In some of these parts in Africa, they use witchcraft. So I'm a young boy. I'm like, whoa, let's see how this guy was going to do with me. So he comes with a robe dressed in different colors. And he was huge. He was humongous. And he comes in and he puts his hand on top of me. And he starts chanting whatever he was chanting. So as I looked at this guy was scary. The voice was like a thundering voice. And when he said, "Hallelujah," you could feel every part of your body shake. And then he holds your head and he's trying to remove something. I don't know what he was trying to remove. I knew I was acting up. I don't know what he was trying to remove. So he's touching all my body. He's pulling things. And that's when I realized I was in trouble. I realized, no, this is serious now. So I was thinking of a way to get out of this situation. So he says, "Come out!" And I said, "Whoa, this is not good." And he kept on going. And it was now painful. So I looked up and I said, "I'm coming out!" And then he looked. You could see his smile because his job is about to get finished. And I looked up to my dad. I said, "I'm going into my dad." You should have seen his face. But the moral of this story is, don't act up. Don't act up. You know, sometimes when we start acting up, we lose focus. And especially in church, when we start acting up and we're trying to be someone who we are not, you know, we lose focus and we forget who we are. We forget. And when we forget who we are, we cause chaos everywhere. Because we don't know who we are. We are blinded. We try and now shine our lights and say, "Look at me. All the attention is at me. Look, this is how I am. This is who I am. This is what I have." Because we have lost that focus. We don't know. And when we have many people, especially in church, like that, we start shining our lights at each other, then we blind each other. Then we can't even see where we are going. Then at the end of the day, we can't even direct those who are in the dark. We can't navigate our way through and say, "Hey, this is the way." Because ourselves, we don't even know where we're going. Our focus is diverted. But I believe that when we step aside and when we accept who we are, I believe that we can make a big difference everywhere we go. So in Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith." Now, I love the Olympics. I don't know how many of you love the Olympics. There you go. I love the Olympics. And one of the things that I like watching, some of you might say, "Oh, what's up with this guy?" is the marathon. I'm just seeing people run, right? And they run. They run. But you see, those are professional guys. Right? They are professional. So they know, you know, in just a little over 2 hours, they are finished. The race is finished. But for you and me, you know, it's different because you never know where the finish line is until you actually cross it. I was hearing of Austin and I was hearing of Mary. Yes. You know, it reminds me of the people who are in the crowd and they're cheering us and they're saying, come on, go. It reminds me of that 50 years. I'm not yet 50. But 50 years in ministry. 51. 52. We're still going. Man, this is wonderful. And they are sitting in there and they're cheering. They are cheering us and they're saying, come on, let's go. And among them also, there is other guys you read in the Bible. There is, my favorite is Noah. You know, at such an age, 500, 600 years is busy building an ark. I'm like, wow. He's told, this is what I need you to do. Do this. He listened. He did it. Take these animals. He listened. He put them in. The flood came. He is safe. The flood finished. He comes out with all the animals. And he's like, wow, this is beautiful. And God says, hey, look at that rainbow. This, I will promise you that I will never do this again. But this is a 600-year-old guy. And that just touches my heart. Where am I going with all this? I'm saying, guys, you can make a difference. Rockcliffe, you can make a difference for your family. You can make a difference for your family. Living a life of integrity and obedience to God always has a positive, a potential to positively impact others. You know, we don't always see this while we are doing the good fight. We don't sometimes, but it happens just the same. Noah was selected because of the way he lived. Fortunately, his obedience did not just benefit him, it benefited his family too. It saved his family. Genesis 7 verse 1 says, the Lord then said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. I love that. I want to live for Christ. I want him to look at me and say, I have found you righteous in this generation. In this generation where we are righting the wrongs as rights. In this generation where everyone looks at you and think, oh, you should just go with the flow. I want God to say, well done. I have found you righteous. Rockcliffe, you can make a difference. You can make a difference for God's creation. No one will ever fulfill the special role that Noah did. But again, you don't have to act up. You don't have to be a Noah. Be yourself. Each one of us can make a difference and can make the place where we live better than it was when we found it. But the question is, how? How can you improve your little corner of the world? Rockcliffe, you are doing it right now. How are you improving it? You are going out into the community. How are you improving it personally? Buy something for someone. Take the bill and say, hey, you will never know what difference you are making in someone's life. We don't know where they are coming from. We don't know their situation. But that just that small thing that we think is so small will actually light a fire in that person. Rockcliffe, you can make a difference for future generations. Cecilia shared something about the garden. And in the garden, we are actually planting a tree called Moringa tree. I don't know how many of you know Moringa tree. Just a few. So let me just give you the nutritional value of Moringa. It's 7 times the vitamin C of oranges. It's 4 times the vitamin A of carrots, 4 times the calcium of milk, 3 times the potassium of banana, 2 times the protein of yogurt, vitamin A, B1, B2, B3, C, calcium, chromium, copper, iron, manganese, phosphorus, potassium. I can go on and on. So we call this tree the miracle tree. It has everything in it. One of the testimonies we got was we went to the garden, and one of our trees fell. So we removed the leaves and then we threw away the branches. So one of the ladies that we work with, her name is Martha, she took that branch. Her husband, who is a pastor, had a stroke a long time ago. So he couldn't walk, he couldn't speak. But he was trying to get back into shape. But this is what happened. He was having epilepsies. So he would have epilepsy all the time. So they took these branches, they broke the branches, put them in water, they boiled the water, and he started drinking it. So we went back, and she came to us and she said, "Hey, Felix, you know, my husband hasn't had epilepsy in a long, long time since we gave him the water from the moringa. And we keep on giving, and it's not happening. So what's up? What does this moringa have?" Then we say, "You know what? God is good. God is good. Because he provides. Where there seems to be no way, there is always something that he gives." And right now we have another lady who is also HIV positive. She was having headaches all the time. She started drinking the water, the tea, because we said, "Make the tea." She made the tea, she drank it. She said, "I haven't had these headaches in a long time." Praise God. So we harvested this moringa tree, and then we made tea for the community. So 40 families had tea, moringa tea, and we were excited about this. So this elderly man comes in, and he plants this moringa tree. And as he is planting it, a younger guy comes and says, "Why are you planting that tree? I don't think you eat from this tree." And that was a little bit rude from this younger guy. But he turned and he said to this younger guy, "You know, I might not eat from this tree, but my children's children will eat from this tree. My children's children. Your actions can help those who come behind you." We are still right now receiving a gift that came because of one man. The benefit that came from the man, Noah, of righteousness, right now we are enjoying that. We're enjoying it even from the benefit of that one man, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You and I can benefit future generations. When you serve people or influence them positively and encourage them, empower them, equip them, and engage them to pass along to others what they have received, you create a chain of impact that will and can outlive you. But what inheritance am I leaving for my children's children? How am I going to make a difference that they can see that difference in me and they can carry it from generation to generation? Rockcliffe, you can make a difference for God. Most times we fail to realize our importance to God. God is always looking for someone to stand in the gap for him. Now, God desires a partner. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says, "God desires to partner with the people who love him. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." God was discouraged. He was discouraged with the people he created in Noah's time. Yet Noah found favor in God's eyes, and he caused him to save humanity. Because of his relationship with God, Noah changed the course of history. And right now we are in this community. We are in this community. And you don't even know how many lives have been changed. Some people might have been heading downhill, but because of you, because of what God is doing in your life, you have changed someone's course of history. Rockcliffe, you can make a difference at any age. January, I think this, we are in what? September? I've lost my sense of time because we've been traveling back and forth. So we're in September. That's good. And we're still in 2018, right? Awesome. So in January 2018, I had a surgery. And the surgery was to help my heart beat. Because sometimes my heart will decide not to beat. It will say, you know what, today I'm going to relax. So when it relaxes, then I also relax. So I would fall down, and it was not a good situation for me. So the doctors say, hey, I think we need to put something that will help your heart to beat and keep the pace. And when it stops, then it can fire here and there. So I said, okay. No, it was not that easy. I just didn't say, okay. Fear came into me. It was so difficult to accept that. The doctor explained everything. I said, this needs to be done. So I said, all right, we'll talk about it. We'll pray about it. So we did everything, and we came back, and the doctor said, are you ready? So I said, well, let's go. So now I haven't fallen in a long time. And I'm so energetic. I love sports. So anything that is sports, I do. I play. Whether I understand it or not, I learn. right now I'm trying to go on skates so that I can play hockey. My wife said, I think you're now a little bit older. I don't think you'll play for the Maple Leafs. But I believe I will be the first Zimbabwean to play for the Maple Leafs. So, I praise God for that. For doctors. For those small machines that I didn't even had an idea that there's something like that. I don't know, maybe there might be some people here who have the similar situation. It might not be a pacemaker. It might be a defibrillator. It might be some other thing that you have with you. Some people call them condition that you have. Or some, I don't know what you can call it, but you know it. Let it not stop you from doing what God wants you to do. At any age, regardless of any situation, God can use you. And he can use you so mightily. So, when God fed the 5,000, who did he use? He used a boy. He used a boy. With God, one person can make a difference, regardless of circumstances or situation. You are never too old. Never too old, never too young to make a difference for God. My encouragement is share Jesus to as many people as you can. My encouragement is run the race to win as many souls for the kingdom. My encouragement to you is take what you have, take what God has given you, what you think maybe it's too small, take it. And give it to others. Live your life that when people look at you, they say, what's happening with this guy? How does he do it? In times of trouble, some people look at you, you're still smiling. Yes, there's challenges, but someone is still smiling. How does he smile? That peace that surpasses all understanding is living inside you. Live that life. Get him inside you. Let him direct every step. I tell you, people will look at you and they will say, come on, how do you do this? People will look at you and say, hey, I want to know this person. They are drawn to you. And then you have that chance to say, it's Jesus. Live that life. Don't be afraid to stand out in the crowd. It's okay to stand out in the crowd. It's fine. Don't be afraid to do something new for the first time. Standing out in the crowd, you might stand out. Stand up for something that is right. Stand up for something that God wants you to stand up for. Don't be afraid, because he is with you. Don't be afraid to do something new for the first time. And when you see a rainbow, just remember that one person can make a difference. And that's you. So Rockcliffe, thank you for what you're doing in this community. Thank you for not only touching this community, but for touching the communities in South Africa, for holding our hands, for holding their hands and walking together and saying, hey, we are all right. We can do this. We can make it. We are better together. And together, we are making a difference. So let me pray for you guys. Lord, we thank you for such an opportunity to share your word. We are your instruments, Lord. We come before you and we ask that you use us. May you direct every step. We put Rockcliffe, its leadership, the congregation into your hands, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you pour your spirit and use your children. And in wherever they are, whatever they are doing, that you will just direct every step. You just direct everything that they do. So, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will go before them, O Lord, and prepare a way. Father, may you bless them. May you touch them, that they may touch others. Bless them, that they may be a blessing to others. Lord, put a hedge of protection over them. There might be some who are not feeling well. There might be some who are facing a lot of challenges. But Lord, we put all these things into your hands. You said, give all to me. Father, we are giving all these things to you. We surrender everything. Our hopes, our future, our challenges, we give them to you. And we ask you, Lord, to take control. We ask, Lord, for your healing, because by your stripes we are healed. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, God, to come together. You said, you were two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there. And we thank you for your presence in the name of Jesus. May you touch your children. May you bless your children. May you heal your children. And may this church be a beacon of hope in this community. May everyone know, oh God, that you live in this place in the mighty name of Jesus. Touch each family represented in the mighty name of Jesus. The name that is above every name, we pray. Amen. Thank you very much.
Amen. Jeff, would you just come to this microphone right here, just for me, for a moment here? Can we stand in the house of the Lord together? Cecilia, you want to grab your daughter, and that, if that's okay? I'm not sure, Rick, if you might need to help direct her to where the kids are. Jeff, right in front of you, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Jeff's going to lead us. Can we sing this together? 10,000 reasons we have to bless God, amen? 10,000 reasons, and God has placed everything you need to succeed. Amen? We really felt God put in my heart this year that it was new beginnings. New beginnings is not just a fresh start or if a golf or a mulligan, which God gives us every day. Every day you've got a new beginning. Don't live yesterday. Every day is a new beginning. This is the day the Lord has made. I choose to rejoice and be glad. And amen. And that little figure eight there was representing the fact that God's saying in these new beginnings, whether it's some dreams and stuff he's put in your heart that he wants to bring forth now, or he's going to open a door for you, he put that on my heart to put it there that you lack nothing in him. We got to get that into our heart. We lack nothing in him. If God says it's going to happen, it all will happen. Even if you say, well, I don't have enough. I don't know what to do. I don't. He has enough. Amen. He has enough. You lack nothing in him. So can we declare this as a declaration? Then we're going to take a moment and we're going to pray over Felix and Cecilia. So let's pray. Let's just sing this song together. Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name.
One more time, one more time.
Bless the Lord, oh,
oh, just begin
my
to
soul.
Tell yourself, Lord, I bless you.
Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name.
Yes, I will.
Oh, I'll worship your holy name.
Oh, yes, Lord, that's our desire. Lord, body, mind, soul, and spirit, Lord, we give everything back to you. Lord, to worship you, your kingdom come here on earth, Lord. Oh, may you find us faithful. May you find us, Lord, willing to partner with you as you are looking for someone to partner with. And so, Lord, I just pray in the adventure that you have us on in the days ahead as we find our gifting, we find our place, we find what you have, Lord, that, Lord, there be nothing that ever the same here in Owen Sound in our region just because of the faithful people that are willing to stand in the gap. Lord, we pray for all the churches right now, Lord, that are meeting and serving you. Lord, just continue to help us to come alive in you, believing, Lord, that we lack nothing in you. And as we make an adventure on the Love Owen Sound, Lord, together with multiple churches, God, Lord, I pray there will be a wave of your love, for nothing fails. Love never fails. It never fails when that love goes out. And so, Lord, may it, Lord, it turn hearts. May it melt hearts. May it open doors. May it reveal yourself, Lord, to everyone around. Lord, whether they've been in church and hurt by church or they've heard and walked away, God, Lord, that this week, that this endeavor of all the churches uniting together to pray for and to release your love, God, Lord, I pray this would be a week of great harvest because, Lord, there's many workers. There's many that will help out and jump on board to let your light shine. And so we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Why don't you step forward, guys? We want to come around. And if you want to come and join, and that to join with us, and that especially the leadership, if you'll make your step out here, and that we want to join around them, and that this is family. Amen? This is family. And we are so thankful for their lives and so thankful for what God is doing in their life. And so we just want to pray blessing over you because we believe here at Rockcliffe you cannot outgive God. You can't outgive him. And that you just can't outgive him. And that I'm going to ask Tony and that one of our senior leaders to just to lead a prayer over top of this family. And for the rest of us, let's just stretch our hands towards them. It's just an act of, yeah, I want to see them blessed too.
Amen. Father, we are just so overwhelmingly thankful that we serve a faithful God.
Amen.
That, Lord, at times we see this world as this big place, Lord, that people are traveling to and fro, but, Lord, really it is just this small community in your eyes of believers, God, that you're just wanting to pour out your love and blessing, Lord, and for us to be your hands and your feet. So, Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for Felix and Cecilia, God. Amen. I thank you for their hearts, God, Amen. To serve you. I thank you for the encouraging words, Lord, that they, in the challenge that they brought us here today, God.
Thank you,
and I pray that that would find a resting place in our hearts, Lord, and we would never be the same because of it. No matter of our age, no matter of our circumstances, you are always bigger. You are always worthy, God, of our service to you. You are worthy of it all, God.
Thank you.
So I thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray your protection over Amen. Felix and Cecilia, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, even as they're waiting for their new visa, Lord, I just pray, God, for no issues, Lord. I pray for that their process to go easily and expediently, God, because you are in it, God. Father, Amen. In the name of Jesus, I pray your blessing over these two. Lord, for Felix, Lord, I just impart just wisdom on this man. Lord, I thank you for the tender heart. But God, I pray that this season, God, for a season of wisdom. A season of wisdom, Lord, that you have put on this man favor in his country, even in a time of uncertainty, even in a time where people are wondering what's going on. But God, in this season, in the name of Jesus, I impart wisdom and I impart courage, Lord, to stand up in the gap, Lord, that he would just be overwhelmingly pursued by Holy Spirit, and he would know that every step is led by you, God. That courage would rise up. And for Cecilia, Lord, I just pray, God, for knowledge that would come alongside the wisdom Amen. And that they would both just work together, Lord. So, God, I pray for words of knowledge for Cecilia, Lord. I pray, God, that you would just pour an anointing on her, Lord. I pray that the hospitality anointing that is on her, God, would increase, Lord. I pray for that mercy, God, that is on her to increase in the name of Jesus, Lord. And, God, I even pray, Lord, for the healer hands to become healing hands, God. God, that what you are doing in their lives, God, wouldn't just continue to work at the same level, Lord, but you have called us higher and higher every day of the week, Lord. So in Jesus' name, as they step back onto this fertile soil, Lord, I pray for this anointing, the moment they step onto that land, to come to be, to come to pass, and we release it now in Jesus' name. And for that little one, Hannah, God, I pray, Father, that you would just grow treasures in her heart as she sees these things happening, Lord, as she sees what God is doing by the hands of her parents in the community in which she lives, God. I pray that these treasures, Lord, would just be stored up, Lord, and that she would become a mighty warrior for God, even at her age today, Lord, as the people and kids that she's around, Lord, would see just the smile that's on her face, and they wonder, why is she so joyful, Lord? So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, and we just declare a bountiful harvest in the days ahead for these two, God, and we give you all glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.